Thank you very much. Welcome, sir. Please, me and you are going to share 5 minutes. Your responses and my questions. So it goes for all members. So your pointed responses will be very helpful. Then the time starts. You tell us about yourself, you tell us in brief your qualifications and work experience, anything that you want to tell us, because we do security check, we do qualifications check, and all of those things will work in your favor so that we don't come back and probe those questions. Our 5 minutes starts. Yes.
Can we please know which candidate this is? Because are we now running to program?
Didn't I? It's number eight in your list, Mr. Thabo Makgage, or Makgage. Do you have your list of candidates? Yes, we are number eight. Continue, sir, we start our 5 minutes.
Mr. Makgage, honorable members. I was just saying I'm glad that the chair pronounced it correctly right from the word go. Which is Makgage, not Makgage. I think I'll just focus more on telecommunications. I joined the regulator SATRA in those days, South African regulator at that time. And then I served in the Financial and Economic Analysis Unit. I was actually the first head of that unit, which was dealing with economic and financial issues. Yeah. Well, and then SATRA was combined with the IBA to become ICASA, and I still continue to serve in the organization, the new ICASA now. And maybe I should mention that I was also acting GM at one point. This was the time when the Fed cellular licensing process was going on, and I was asked to be the project director while at the same time remaining as acting GM, but my substantive position being head of the financial and analysis unit of ICASA now. Then I left ICASA to join Telkom, MTN rather. I went to MTN and served there as a regulatory economist. And maybe I should mention before leaving ICASA, I served on the several committees, council committees, which included committees on general license fees, wholesale call termination, numbering plan, local loop and bundling, and compliance procedure manual. I chaired these committees, but I did deputize somebody on other committees which I haven't mentioned, which included spectrum fees, band plan, and spectrum regulations, type approval, you know, and so on and so forth. So this was when I was now a councillor, because I started by mentioning that I joined as an official at the operations level. But I left ICASA and then worked for Telkom and MTN, and then I was invited back and appointed as a councillor for ICASA between 2008 and 2012. Briefly said, this is my story as far as telecommunications is concerned. But of course, when Sasra was combined with IBA, then the issue of broadcasting came into play. So I also did participate on issues as a councillor that had to do with broadcasting. And then there was the 2005 Electro-Communications Act, which now brought in the postal services into play. So I also was involved in postal services, managing postal services issues as a regulator. In brief, sir, this is the story that I wanted to focus on. Thank you.
Honourable Shin.
Thank you, Chairperson. You spent your lifetime in the sector, so you obviously have a lot of valuable experience and indications of what went wrong. I see you also worked for PGMA. Now, PGMA, from what I understand, are the people who did the report into the appropriate funding for ICASA. Were you part of that process, or do you know what that report said? Do you think those recommendations should be implemented, and will you do that if you're a councillor? Then what will you do differently that hasn't been done to introduce more market competition into both the broadcasting and the telecommunications, traditional telecommunications space? And can you tell us who your current clients are and what work you do for them?
Yes, ma'am. I did work for PGMA, but it was on a specific project. This had to do with the Gambia. We went out there to assist the Gambia in rationalizing, if I may call it, the sector, because they still had a situation where you had a fixed line operator and a mobile operator, but there seemed to be one thing, there were board members who sat on the mobile operator and vice versa. So essentially what we were advising on was to separate the two to make sure that they would treat each other at arm's length. That is the only project I worked on when I was with PGMA. Well, I knew something about it, but I was not involved. But I thought the question also was...
Basically, I was saying what the recommendations that they made on ICASA, if you become an ICASA councillor, will you accept it? But if, you know, I don't need to know about your Gambian thing. So you have no knowledge of the recommendations of the PGMA thing into ICASA?
Not very much, except that there has always been a problem with the funding of ICASA in terms of they get their budget via the department and not directly from, say, Parliament. And there were suggestions that perhaps ICASA should use the funds that they collect directly and then submit the balance to the department, rather than be going to the department with a begging bowl all the time. Because ICASA was not able, in fact, all the time to meet all its targets, performance targets, because it will be a problem of failing to convince the department that we need more money to do 1, 2, 3. We are not able to fulfill or to meet our performance 100%. We are only able, for example, I'm just giving an example. Clients, meaning the operators.
You're operating now as a consultant.
Oh, I see.
Who are the clients that you're working for now? And you'll obviously have to give them up if you become an ICASA counsellor. and wanting to check if you're going to have a conflict of interest. And then also, what were you going to do to introduce more market competitive regulations?
I'm sorry, the time is up. Honorable Matisha.
Look, I've got no doubt, given what you have said, that you know what ICASA is. Okay? Now, what I want to understand from you, sir, is the future. I hear I'm talking about telecommunications, broadcasting, postal industries, the development, as a whole. To say your juxtaposition of that with ICASA, what is it that you believe you can do to make sure that we succeed there?
Well, first of all, the issue of resources for ICASA are critical to my mind. So that is one thing that I'll try to, to contribute towards, that ICASA should be resourced adequately, especially from the budget point of view. And secondly, there is one current issue around data at the moment. Data is too costly, and there have been community, if I may say, agitation that the cost of data should be reduced by the operators. But I know that from my little research, ICASA doesn't have a framework yet for data. ICASA has been dealing with voice mainly. So this issue of data, I think, probably is catching them by surprise, if I may use the term. And secondly, there's the issue of spectrum allocation, because it's now connected with data. I did mention the issue of cost. Because of delays or failure to release the spectrum, which is high demand spectrum, it is not easy for the operators to propagate signals, especially in rural areas and small towns. Sadly, ICASA tried to auction some spectrum recently, but then the matter ended up in court, and they there's a stalemate, if I may call it that. I have no inside information. But these are some of the issues, say, that I would attend to. The issue of postal services, from my own personal experience, it appears that the post office is still lagging behind in terms of technology. One would want to see a situation where when you walk into a post office, then you can go to a corner and then send an email, some kiosks, inside there.
Okay, I'll do that. I know it's going to stop me very soon. But then the second thing that I want to check with you, once again, because, ICASA is something, an institution that belongs to the people of our country. And we know that our country really, at the moment, is encapsulated in the realm of dishonesty. People just steal, particularly those whom we, or our people, give power. There is lack of integrity, credibility, etc. Will you be able to, if you are, of course, given the position, will you be able to take us forward?
Well, definitely, sir, because in my working career, I've never had a problem with corruptive activities. And then whichever forum I participate in, like the council, for example, I always stand very firm if one smells an element of corruption. So I think I'll continue to take that stand.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Joseph.
W- Would you agree with me that there's been very little progress made in the transformation of the sector? Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, you've been there. What is it that you're going to do differently? Because it means you're part of that failure.
Well, often failure does empower one, you know. And one looks back retrospectively and said, well, we failed to transform the sector.
How long were you in the council for?
I was there for 4 years.
And then how long have you been working in this space?
I would say precisely from 1998.
And you still, I don't understand, what is the job you're going to do differently? How has failure empowered you? Give me an example of that which you're going to do differently. Because you do know that you can go on to fail. Failure can empower you precisely to fail more.
Well, in this case, I think that failure has empowered me. I'll tell you why. Because the issue...
What is it concretely that you're going to do differently?
Oh yes, I'm going to push for fairness when it comes to, for example, shareholding for the historically disadvantaged groups.
That doesn't sound like a really new idea. Why haven't you done it already? I mean, it's everywhere in the politics of all our post-1994 legal frameworks. Why didn't you push it firmly? Why now?
Well, I must say, I've been pushing it even in the past.
So you failed.
And one works in a... What word can I use now? In a collective.
Okay, let me help you. I need something concrete. You are saying to me you're going to be firm and you've been firm, so there's no change. Why do you want to go back? What is the new thing that you're going to contribute? Why shouldn't we get new blood? You have not succeeded. You're saying the new thing you're going to do is being firm. I ask you, why haven't you done it before? You said, no, you've done it, which means it's not new. Why do you want to go back? You have not made a difference. What is the new thing that you're going to contribute, or what is the new thing that you're going to do for which we must put you back for?
Well, it is to agitate further within the council, for example, if I sit on the council, that we must pursue this issue of transformation vigorously, more vigorously, with more vigor than it has been the case before.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honourable Mdlozi.
I have failed to push vigorously this candidate to give me something vigorously new.
Thank you. Honourable Kalako, Machoba is fine.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few questions. I won't ask you. I can see your CV. You have been in the sector for a long time. Are you aware of the white paper which is in discussion? ICT white paper. The integrated ICT white paper.
Yes, I'm aware of it, sir.
Okay. Look, on the when you were there, what, again, is coming to this question, on the independence of ICASA and the relation between SABC and ICASA, both reporting to DOC. What is your opinion of that arrangement?
The arrangement of the SABC reporting to both ministry and ICASA.
It's reporting both to ministries, these two split ministries. But now there's another complicated matter where SABC have to comply with the regulations of ICASA. Is there no conflict there, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, there is a conflict, sir, and confusion. I think that the SABC should report to the authority insofar as regulatory issues, broadcasting regulatory issues are concerned. To report to two authorities to me, creates a problem. I really would suggest that the SABC, like other operators, you know, maybe in telecommunications, the likes of Vodacom and so on, should report directly to one authority, which is ICASA, on regulatory issues.
Your view on how the spectrum should be dispensed here. You mentioned that there is now a controversy in court, and it's precisely around the ways and methods of doing that.
Well, my view is that spectrum should be allocated to new entrants. But the dilemma there, again, is that maybe new entrants don't have the wherewithal to utilize spectrum efficiently. Efficiently and effectively. So that is where my dilemma is, really, because I would like to see a situation where this spectrum is allocated to operators who will then implement it with a view to bridging the digital divide between rural areas and urban areas and small towns.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, members. Why? Because you left 1 minute earlier.
Yeah. I'm not getting into the questions that one could have raised. I'm just checking. I see you have been to, you indicated in your CV, University of Botswana, Lesotho, and Swaziland, Roma. I don't know whether that is the where you maybe went for personal education, etc., or did you work there? I just wanted to check that. Thanks, Chairperson. I only wanted to be clear. Thanks.
Yes, I attended school there. I did my university education at the University of Botswana, Lesotho, and Swaziland, which later on split. The three countries decided to go their own way. Now you have University of Botswana, University of Lesotho, and University of Swaziland. Yes.
Thank you,
Chairperson. Okay. University of Botswana, Lesotho, and Swaziland. And the three countries decided to split later on.
Thank you very much, sir. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the responses.
Thank you, sir.
Somebody will take you out. And the next. And then